Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Father, from our Lord Jesus, and from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's kick this message off by playing a game called What If? You maybe have never played it before, but no worries, you'll catch on right away. All you have to do is answer the questions that I'll ask, but answer them just in your own mind. You don't even have to say anything. Five questions. Here we go. What if you lived in the same state, the same neighborhood, the same house, in fact, the same bedroom your entire life, from the day you were born until the day you died? What if your first job ended up 50 years later being your one and only job? So 5 days each and every week, you perform the same task all day long, no change, no variety, no challenge. Three, what if you never traveled anywhere beyond your hometown, perhaps to the edge of your county line, but the only terrain you were ever exposed to was that which you had always known? You probably don't need two more. Because you get it, right? Yeah, you're thinking to yourself, yuck. I mean, that would be terrible. I can't imagine living like that. And that's the point today. You and I, as the children of God, are not emotionally hamstrung. Whoa. Where did that come from? We are not emotionally hamstrung. We are not hopeless people. Our day-to-day lives are not simply more of the same old, same old. We are not relegated to 70 or 80 years of boring monotony. Why not? Because we serve the Creator of the universe. And is He ever creative? I mean, look at the mountains and their glorious majesty. Look at the endless oceans. Look at the rolling plains. All part of God's creativity. Study the intricate design of 1,000 snowflakes and you'll see not two of them are identical. Or closer to home, take a walk out through the Caldwell Zoo for an up-close look at God's creativity. I mean, the elongated neck and legs of the giraffe, there it is again, that rubbery, wrinkled trunk of the elephant, or the frolicking antics of the otters. Our God loves creativity. And He loved it when He created you and I in His own image. Friends, that's just one of the reasons our hearts skip a beat when we read the passage that we've referred to all this month in Revelation 21:5. I've read it and reread it so many times, it's memorized by now, and I encourage you to memorize it too. Say this with me. He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." And the second part of it says, "Then he said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true." So what does that positive, life-giving promise mean for you? For you who may be stuck in a life of boredom. For you whose routine may have become a rut. For you who perhaps are in a spiritually dry place, so much so that even God Himself doesn't seem inviting or meaningful. What it means is exactly what God has said. He is making everything new, including your hopes and dreams. How's that possible? Let me take you back to the day of Pentecost. 50 days after Jesus' glorious, victorious resurrection, the day when the Holy Spirit came to live in and fill the hearts and minds of each and every person in the early church. When Peter stood up to explain this phenomenon that had just occurred, he quoted some verses from the Old Testament book of Joel, verses which clearly spoke of a new and better day for the children of God. A day of restoration and renewal, a day of hope and expectation. That day began when Jesus walked out of his tomb. And it was completed when the Holy Spirit filled all of the believers at Pentecost. Here are the words that he quoted from Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Brothers and sisters, that's how it's possible for you and me to live with new hopes and dreams. God the Holy Spirit is living in you. And he's enabling you to see unseen things, no different than he did even for Elisha. As Sue read that text from 2 Kings, the Israelites were at war with their enemies of Aram. And the king of Aram was intent on putting Elisha to death, so he hunted him down. And he found the city where he was staying, and he sent his large army to surround that city so that in the morning Elisha's servant woke up and he saw this huge army. And he was scared to death, paralyzed with fear, until Elisha prayed, until Elisha asked God to open his eyes. And when God answered that prayer, he saw that God's army was there also. And it was a larger army, a greater army. His army was there to protect them. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit is living in you to do the same thing. To open your eyes. To see his blessings. To open your eyes for a better day that's ahead, to dream of a better life. The Holy Spirit did something similar with young Stephen in the days of the early church. Stephen, who the Bible says was full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Stephen, who was full of God's grace and power. Stephen, who did miraculous signs and wonders among the people. And Stephen, who was unflinching before his enemies, the powerful Sanhedrin. So much so that without apology and with great conviction, he said, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit." And just when it seemed like his circumstances couldn't get any worse, they did. The men of the Sanhedrin were gnashing their teeth at him, and they drug him away. And this is what we were told from Acts chapter 7. When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Even as he was about to die, Stephen was given a new hope and dream. In fact, in his case, the best was saved till last. Are those two examples isolated ones? Are they never to be repeated ones? Not if we take God at his word Because when the one who is seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new, he put it in the present tense. God is making everything new in ongoing fashion. Our Heavenly Father continues making everything new, including your hopes and dreams, right up to the moment when we hear that trumpet, when we see Jesus return. The Lord will do for you as He has promised. And the only reason to doubt is with us. So if we're longing for new hopes and dreams, what do we have our eyes fixed on? Are they fixed on our circumstances? Are they fixed on the here and now? I mean, that's pretty natural, right? Now, that's easy for us to do. But if you and I are locked in on whatever it is that's going on around us, what can we expect to change? Someone once said, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always be what we've always been. Oh, remember the old definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results? That's nuts. That's nuts if you're wanting something new, however. New hopes and dreams. And there's a second reason we miss out. It happens when we focus not on the current thing, but on the wrong things. I came across this scripture this past week in my studies. It's from Psalm 119. The psalmist prayed, turn my eyes away from worthless things. Renew my life according to your word. Can I probe here a little bit? What are the worthless things in your life? Might one of them be worry? What about regrets? Regrets from the past. Those are certainly worthless. I mean, none of us can change the past. The best thing we can do, again, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is to confess those mistakes, those sins on our part, to receive God's forgiveness in Jesus, learn from the past, and then move on. What else falls into the category of worthless things that we often set our gaze upon? What about grudges? Whoa. Tiffany, can you do me a big favor and try and reset us to the slide? I don't think she was playing with it either. Okay, so we'll try this old school, okay? A little bit more. Maybe I can try it from here. Otters, making everything new. See, this is good review. Stephen being stoned, worthless things, regrets, grudges, here we are. Do you ever find yourself going back time into time again to something that somebody's done against you? Ask God to turn your eyes away from those things. And then there's vanity. I know that you spend too much time looking in the mirror. I know that. Because you and I are cut from the same bolt of cloth. I look at my legs. My kildee legs, as one member of the church once put it. And I wish they were more muscular. I look at my bald spot. And I wished I had a full head of hair like Bill Rumsch. Or as Carl one time said, to have a pelt like Bill's. I look at my beard, my thin, graying beard, and I covet the facial hair of Cameron back there. Even at this age, I struggle with the the worthlessness of vanity. Maybe you do too. And we could add to that list status, what other people think about us. Really? Why is that important? Don't we have an audience of one? Or stuff. You know, there's stuff, and then there's more stuff, and then there's much more stuff. Stuff that we can't carry into eternity. And Jesus warns us against building bigger barns to put our stuff in. Today that would translate into storage units. You ever count how many storage units are around? Is there anything more worthless than the stuff we pay money to hold on to that we never use? So come on, let's be those who live with new hopes and new dreams, as those who are so blessed to have the Holy Spirit living in us, and who in response listen to His still small voice. Let's be those who set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. Paul goes on there in Colossians to say, because your life is now hidden in Christ. He who is seated on the throne is making all things new. I want to close with three examples of people who are doing that, who are living with new hopes and dreams. People who just this past week have demonstrated that work of God's Spirit in them. The first would be my sister Karen, my older sister. She was widowed 10 years ago at the age of 59. And so for this past decade, she has coped with living life alone, without the dream of growing old with the love of her life. And in that decade, she has blossomed both spiritually as well as professionally. By all accounts, she has managed well, despite the day-to-day emptiness that many of you are well familiar with this too. But this past week, my big sis may just have found herself on the beginning of a new chapter in life. She told me that she went to the West Coast to see a friend of hers, a longtime friend, happens to be a guy. Now, I don't know if this is the first time they've communicated. I don't know that. I mean, she doesn't always confide in me right away because I am, always will be her little brother. But it sure seems like she's got a little more of a twinkle in her eye. Living with new hopes and dreams. Secondly, as I met with our disaster response team here yesterday morning, one of them, a retiree, said to me, "You know, I may have just found my new calling with this team. As hard as it's going to be out down there, mucking out, dragging heavy, wet carpet and all kinds of things, I couldn't stand the thought of staying behind." I would say that is a blessed man, not to have settled for more of the same old, or for what's comfortable and easy, but instead to put himself out there, to say no to himself so that he might say yes to making a difference in someone else's life, and to do so anonymously for no other reason than because in his heart of hearts he felt the Holy Spirit prompting him. Third, some of you may have seen on the news Friday, two nights ago, that a silver alert had been issued. It was for an older woman here in town by the name of Imogene. She's actually has visited here. She's worshiped with us. She lives alone. She has some medical conditions, and she was reported missing. The person who reported her missing is also one of our members here. And so she and the police showed up at Imogene's house. They gained entry. They combed through the house, only to come up empty. And they feared the worst. Later in that same day, however, one of our, the member that I was telling you about, she She believed that the Holy Spirit was prompting her to check again. So she went back to Imogene's house. She was allowed inside. She opened up a closet door that she had seen before, and hiding under a pile of clothes at the back of the closet was Miss Imogene. Hot, hungry, and scared to death. But it was the Spirit of God who led our member to look again. And when she did, her greatest hope came true. Let me ask you, what is your greatest hope? What is your dream come true? The one who sits on the throne is making everything new, including your hopes and your dreams. Won't you trust him for that? However grand they may be, it's sure a whole lot better than more of the same old, right? Amen. And may the peace of God that surpasses human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Jesus. Amen.